My last question is, do you have like top three standout music waste memories, performances, etc.?
Oh my God, those are so hard. Ah, my God. I gotta think about that. I can't. What's your timeline?
Thanks for tuning in to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the unceded, ancestral, traditional, and shared territories of the Musqueam, the Squamish, and the Tsleil-Waututh Nations in the city colonially known as Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. You're listening to The Gift That Keeps Giving, an extra special bonus episode of Time Not Wasted, a radio documentary looking back at 30 years of Music Waste Festival, where we'll hear from the documentary's interviewees on their fondest memories and performances from the fest, as well as music from those standout artists. We'll start with longtime attendee and CITR programmer, Duncan McHugh.
I guess my questions are top three performances that you're like, these are the artists that like encapsulate my experience of Music Waste in some way.
It's hard to narrow it down to three. I mean, I was trying to think of like my favorite Music Waste moments, and there's a lot of them, but like a couple of ones that kind of jump out to me. I think in 2011, going to see Gal Grayson's first show was at Music Waste. And so it was at this venue called The Nines that what had been a car rental agency across from International Village Mall, and just for a summer was like an art space. And so they hosted a show there, and Gal Grayson played for the first time, and it was really just an amazing set, and it was so fun to see that. But then in terms of bands that I wouldn't have gone to see otherwise, I remember there was I was trying to kill time between two different like shows that I wanted to see. So I like jumped into, I forget, like it's one of the places. I don't know if it's the Hilden or it was some bar on East Hastings, and I kind of just went in to see some bands before I was going to another one. And this band had three singers on stage and were just had this electric energy and like totally blew my hair back. And it was Slam Dunk, and I had never heard of them before, and certainly hadn't seen them. And that set like just knocked me out. And so they had come over from Victoria for the day, and I love them, and so then I like asked them to put a track on a compilation that CITR made with Mint Records, and had been a like a long time, like I've been a fan of theirs and the various offshoots of that band ever since. And that's something that like it would have taken me a long time to see Slam Dunk otherwise, but Music Waste helped make that happen. Yeah, I mean, okay. So Gal Grayson at the Nines, that like was one of my favorite sets of all time. It was really wonderful. Seeing Slam Dunk for the first time at some unknown venue, some hotel that I don't think has shows anymore. And then a third one, I don't know. Yeah, like it's I remember you and I were driving around picking up money. And we were at 333 Clark, and Necking had a like amazing set. And like, yeah, it was just like dropping into this room. Everybody is like really amped up, and it's just full of people. And then Necking came on, and it was just fantastic. Yeah, like that was a great set as well. And also, it was just great hanging out with you that night and driving around. Like, that was really fun.
Like standout performances.
Oh my god, those are both so hard. My god. I gotta think about that. I just like honestly, it's such a like blur. Like it's like, oh. Yeah, I feel like it's just so like in the same way that it was not meant to be, you know, the headliners or the stars or whatever. It's like such a blur. Like half of the time I feel like I would just like ride my bike and I would like try to make it to all these bands and consequently just like get there between every band and like not even end up seeing any bands. Yeah, I got to think about that because there's like a lot of them, but it's so deep in there.
That was Sarah Cordingley, the festival director in the 2000s, perfectly touching on how hectic and consuming Music Waste Weekend can be. Just before that, you heard Necking's Stop Singing from their 2017 EP Meditation Tape. Before that was Peter by Slam Dunk off of their 2013 release Welcome to Miami, and opened that set with Gal Grayson's Miss June Goth off of their 2013 release, Blue Hearts in Exile. Gal Grayson, Slam Dunk, and Necking were all named as Duncan McHugh's top three performers. Up next, we have Chris Mitchell, the festival's founder.
Do you have three like standout Music Waste performances?
Yeah. It's Well, obviously the Winx. Jeez. I don't know. Like, no, I can't. I'm just gonna no, I can't.
That is so fair.
It was neat when, you know, some of the after hour stuff, some of the electronic stuff was starting early, you know, in the 90s and stuff like that. That was interesting too. Not that that's, you know, one of my highlights. I think my highlights are just new things happening. That would be, those are whenever something that never happened before happened in music waste, that was a highlight for me. Over the years, the comedy, I would say, is a highlight, and the art is a highlight, and just the new developments. That's, yeah, those are the highlights, I'd say. How's that?
That's great. That's perfect.
You're listening to The Gift That Keeps Giving, an extra special bonus episode of Time Not Wasted, a radio documentary looking back at 30 years of Music Waste Festival. You just heard Lifting Rock for Crayfish by Winx off of their 1997 release, Left Above the Clouds. Winx was named as Chris Mitchell, the festival founder's standout artist. Up next, we have Natalie Corbo, who is on the organizing team for the past 6 years.
Do you have three, like, standout Music Waste performances, memories, or even just, like, bands that you were like, wow, that was great?
Yeah, let me think. It's so hard. One is that I totally remember, I don't remember what year it was, but I remember the first time seeing Devours, and everyone was really like, everyone on the organizing committee, or a few people in the organizing committee, I guess, were like excited about seeing them play. And I didn't like know anything about the music. And then I remember going to that show and being like, what? Like, someone is making this music in Vancouver? Like, this is amazing. Yeah, so that was definitely a standout of just being like, oh my God, like, I've never been to, or I hadn't been to a lot of shows in Vancouver where people were like dancing, and like, that's not a thing that, that I had seen here a lot. So that was exciting. And another one is, I remember there was 1 year, I was not organizing Music Waste. I think I was, yeah, I was just attending. I remember it was like, I was very broke at the time. I remember sort of like collecting the like little bits of like liquor that I had in my cabinet, because I had my $15 pass, but I like didn't have a beer budget for the weekend. So I was like, oh, okay, I have this, like, I'll put these in like a jar with some ice and like go meet my friends at the park. And we went to the park, and then we were like hanging out at someone's jam space. And then we went to this place across the street on Hastings. I think it might have been Remington Gallery, which I don't think exists anymore. And Cool played, who was like, that was like members of Apollo Ghosts. And yeah, that was extremely fun, because I don't know, there was definitely like, seeing Apollo Ghosts was like always a similar situation too, of like, whoa, people are like really going for it and like crowd surfing and doing all of these things that you just like don't see at shows that much here. So yeah, that was definitely another standout. Yeah, there's probably others. I don't know. I might also have to get back to you.
You're listening to The Gift That Keeps Giving, an extra special bonus episode of Time Not Wasted, a radio documentary looking back at 30 years of Music Waste Festival. You just heard I Can Handle That by Kool off of their 2014 release, I Can Handle That 12-inch dance single. Just over that was Freddy Krueger Honeymoon Suite by Devours off of their 2016 release, Late Bloomer. Devours and Kool were both named by Natalie as two standout performances over the past 30 years. Up next is Dustin Bromley, who was the festival's director in the early 2010s.
Do you have any top three standout Music Waste performances / memories, if that's really hard?
Oh, I'm scared you're gonna ask this. Yeah, the one, like, there's one that sticks out instantly, and it was, I think it was 333. No, not 333. Yeah, was that the name of the place? It was one of the after-hours venues near to there. It was probably, it was at the end of the festival. So last night, you know, I had finished my responsibilities. Everything was done, and I could go to this after-hours and just relax. Like, the only people that still had to work were the door folks, and Cascadia played. And it was just this wonderful, relaxing experience. And like, they were at the top of their game. Yeah, it was just, that one always sticks out as just a wonderful experience. I have no idea what year that was. I had been hearing about them a lot, but I hadn't had the chance to see them. So kind of in that Music Waste way, that was my first time actually seeing them play. And I was so impressed, and so it just felt like such a great cap off to the festival. And it was like, they were the right style of music for that moment, and they sounded incredible. And I'll always have that memory. It was really lovely. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Gift That Keeps Giving, an extra special bonus episode of Time Not Wasted, a radio documentary looking back at 30 years of Music Waste Festival. You just heard Cascadia's Ever off of their 2013 release, Level Trust EP. Cascadia was named as Dustin's top performance memory. Up next, we have Eleanor Wearing, the festival director in the late 2010s.
My last question is just, and this is a question that people keep saying they need time for, so if you don't want to answer it now, that makes sense. But do you have, like, if you can think of some, like top three standout music waste memories, performances, etc.?
Mm-hmm. So one is definitely, I don't know what year it was, so you'd have to look this up, but Skunt kind of like reunited and played at Red Gate, I think on like the Saturday night, and they covered Decepticon by Le Tigre, and it was so full in there, and people were like moshing and almost, maybe I want to say people were crowd surfing, I have no idea. So amazing. So that definitely a highlight memory. And then the first year that we did the opening night at Fortune, and we did Art Waste there too, and we had a karaoke room, and I think Fuzzy P was headlining, and those are some of my dear friends, so that was really special. I can't remember who else played that night, but it was the Hockey Dad Records showcase. I just, like, Fortune was a bit of a risk of a venue. We didn't really know because it wasn't one we used, and it's a bit more of like a club vibe, and we weren't really sure if people were gonna like be receptive to that, but it was like so awesome to have the Art Waste opening in the same place, and the art show was incredible. And that was Lauren Ray and Tom Bancroft who did that, and the karaoke room was bumping, and it was a really cool feeling. I don't know. I'm trying to think of like another example. There's so many things, honestly. Maybe like Nice Apple playing at the hot dog place in Hastings Sunrise. Also very good. The Year of the Rap showcase, I want to say 2016, like it went till like 4 or 5 a.m. And then like me and Dustin and Ben Lai and Rob Cathrall like went to McDonald's at 6 a.m. And then I woke up the next day to go to like Music Waste Day 4, like at Thor's Palace on like 4 hours of sleep. Just like things like that. There's a lot of very good memories, and there's so many shows that I probably am not even, like, I can't even remember, to be honest, but very, very good times. Yeah.
Every day and night, every day
Listening to The Gift That Keeps Giving, an extra special bonus episode of Time Not Wasted, a radio documentary looking back at 30 years of Music Waste Festival. You just heard Nice Apple's Rollin' off of their 2019 release, This Time Nice Apple is Auto-Cathecting. Just before that was So Young by Fuzzy P off of their 2016 EP, Fuzz. And then opened that set with Decepticon by Skunt off of their 2016 release, Could Be Tighter. Skunt, Fuzzy P, and Nice Apple were all named by Eleanor as three of her top performances over the last 30 years. Next up, we have Lee Young, the current Art Waste coordinator at Music Waste.
My last cue is just like, do you have top three standout Music Waste performances, Art Waste memories?
Probably. I just need to think about it for a sec. Top three. Well, I met Kirk from NIL1E through Music Waste the first year that I was working with them. So, like 3 years ago? Is that 3 years ago? Holy shit. Oh my God. Yeah, it was really, really, really cool because I love Kirk. Yeah, Kirk is freaking awesome. So I found a really good friend through Music Waste and the following year, like, I went to every show that Kirk had that I could go to. I had a little house party where Kirk's band played in my living room. It's just, like, I don't know. I'm really, really glad that I got to see them play and then, like, got to meet them that night. And now we're here, you know? Otherwise, like, just, like, the general, like, there are probably some really good moments. I just can't think of them right now.
listening to The Gift That Keeps Giving, an extra special bonus episode of Time Not Wasted, a radio documentary looking back at 30 years of Music Waste Festival. You just heard Watching the World Go to Hell by M01E off of their 2022 release, Season 1, Episode 3, The Window on the Street. M01E was named by Lee as their top performance memory in the past 30 years. Up next, we have Aaron Charles Reed, who organized Comedy Waste in 2017, question mark?
Do you have top three standout Music Waste / Comedy Waste / Art Waste memory performance, the VIP memories?
Yeah, the VIP memories. Holy shit. I'd say one highlight for me is in Comedy Waste in 2007, they made these promo videos, and some of them are in bad taste. It was 2007, but they filmed one where me and this guy, Jordan, I can't remember his last name, but he passed away quite a while ago, but he was a really great comedian and writer. And we made these short videos about him and I kind of pre-drinking before a rock show, because they made all these sketches that were kind of like about going to Music Waste and stuff. And we just drank real alcohol, and I ended up getting like really wasted. But we just kept filming the sketches, and I like popped out of a garbage can and did that. You know, on Mac computers, the old ones, they'd have a garbage can, and when you put stuff in, Oscar the Grouch would come out and he'd say, "Oh, I love trash." Yeah. And then I remember after that sketch, I like grabbed my bike and walked to go meet up with my girlfriend, and then was trying to get my bike on the bus. But anyways, I think that was a highlight for me. Jordan's really funny, and I think that video is still online, and I don't like watching it because obviously it's horrifying to watch yourself when you're like, I don't remember that. But I think it was a really funny video, and I had a lot of fun that night. We were like, we had like tiny little beers, and it was just in the parking lot at the Biltmore before that condo right across from the Biltmore was there. So yeah, that was just a really funny fun time. And then I say the other highlight was just Chris Riffick, when the year that I did it, Chris Riffick doing songs, and get Chris Riffick hanging out with comedians was nuts. I loved that. Yeah. But yeah, other than that, I think that those would be my like VIPs. What was going on? I cannot figure out. About to lose it all, and then I woke up. That's not the version I want. Hope it's not what I get when I get there. You don't perform at all like me anymore. You're finally out in front saying all that you want. But exclaim or remember your name. Toronto's got an all your clothes. A visit from you must mean that I need something. Get to let down in a shock. I'm the one that no one wants to play with, 'cause I stick around for nobody else. You're carving every kid you think deserves it, contradicting everything you did in the past. I think I'm staying somewhere other than here. I think I'm leaving here before the wedding. What am I gonna do without him? What am I gonna do without him? I know you miss the mountains a lot more than you thought, a lot more than you thought. I believe this, I think you need us if you stick around. I think that it would work. I don't believe this, I think you need us if you stick around. I think that it would work. I believe this, you don't need us, get the hell out of town. It was never gonna work.
You're listening to The Gift That Keeps Giving, an extra special bonus episode of Time Not Wasted, a radio documentary looking back at 30 years of Music Waste Festival. And you just heard Chris Riffick's Fresh Brews off of their 2018 release, Post Season. Chris Riffick was named as one of Aaron's top performance memories in the past 30 years. And finally, we'll end this extra special episode with Naomi Endale, a current organizer at Music Waste Festival.
Do you have like a top three standout performances at Music Waste, like memories at Music Waste, like experiences that happened?
I loved the show that I show repped last year. That was like, I think it was just like a, it was a big deal for me on many, many fronts, just because it was the first time that I had run a show on my own, and I was kind of just thrust into it. I was like, okay, I'll do this. And they were like, okay, great. Here are your things. Go do it. And I'm like, okay. In all honesty, I was just like running around trying to be like a little busy bee. I was like, I gotta do this good. I've gotta be good at this. So I didn't like really stop and listen and enjoy the bands as much as I could have slash should have, which was really sad. I really enjoyed Cherry Blue set last year. So good. So good. So excellent. Danny's set was very beautiful. I do remember that at Green Auto. And then I also really enjoyed Laloon at the show that I show repped. They were great. But yeah, just like show repping a show for the first time. I remember it was at the Toast. It was a really interesting experience. It was really fun. I'd never been to that space before. It was also the Toast's new space, so no one had really been to that space before. So it was a bit of a hassle getting people to find the space, like getting bands to find the space, but all worked out in the end, and I felt like I was capable of doing anything after that.
Where did you get all this time to grow? Was it in your home? Your mother held you right and gave you all the moms to do. Can I tell you something no one knows? Gotta take it slow. I don't say. Afraid I will get home.
You're listening to The Gift That Keeps Giving, an extra special bonus episode of Time Not Wasted, a radio documentary looking back at 30 years of Music Waste Festival. And you just heard Le Lune's Despondent off of their 2024 release, Disparity. Just before that was Running Away to Montreal Felt Like This, produced by Void Puppet and Miguel Maravilla, Danny Your Darling's newest single, and then opened that set with Cherry Blues 3 off of their 2023 release, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Thanks so much for tuning in to this extra special bonus episode of Time Not Wasted. You can listen to the full documentary on CITR.ca or wherever you get your podcasts. CITR and Music Waste both operate on the unceded, ancestral, traditional, and shared territories of the Musqueam, the Squamish, and the Tsleil-Waututh Nations in the city colonially known as Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Thank you so much to all of the amazing volunteers, acquaintances, and friends that I had the privilege of speaking with for this project. Dustin Bromley, Natalie Corbo, Sarah Fordingley, Naomi Endale, Duncan McHugh, Lori Mercer, Chris Mitchell, Aaron Charles Reed, Eleanor Wearing, and Lee Young. This episode was written and produced by me, Dora Duber. The music used was Knockdown Ginger's Sarcastic, Gal Grayson's Miss June Goth, Slam Dunk's Peter, Necking's Stop Singing, Winx's Lifting Rock for Crayfish, Devour's Freddy Krueger Honeymoon Suite, Kool's I Can Handle That, Cascadia's Ever, Skunt's Decepticon, Fuzzy Peas So Young, Nice Apples Rollin', M-No-One-E's Honey Look at the TV, Watching the World Go to Hell, Chris Arifric's Fresh Brews, Cherry Blues 3, Danny Your Darling's Running Away to Montreal Felt Like This, Le Lune's Despondent, and Dumb's Mint. All music featured in this episode can be found in CITR's music library. As a sign of our good friend,